This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And you are listening to Ecotopia, a weekly program exploring ecosystems, environmental, social, and technological. The Beatles introduced our topic tonight, singing Savoy Truffle. We'll be talking in a little bit with Carol Albrecht. She is the co-owner of Chafin Family Orchards and co-leader of the Chico Butte chapter of the Weston A. Price Foundation. That's an organization that's dedicated to helping people eat healthier with locally grown ingredients. We'll be talking with Carol about their healthy foods cooking classes. I'm Stephen Schutte.
And I'm Susan Schutte. Later in the show, Steve will tell us about his bicycle trip to Davis, where he attended the Whole Earth Festival. Ecotopia is made possible in part by member contributions and by Cartridge World in Chico, specializing in printer cartridge refilling and remanufacturing for a green community. Cartridge World uses recycled cartridges for most home and business printers, copiers, and faxes. Cartridge World in Chico is located inside the Safeway Plaza next to Tri-Counties Bank. More information is available by calling 342-3333. And by Alternative Energy Systems, a locally owned and operated partnership providing energy for life with sustainable energy, available on the web at www.solarenergyforlife.com. Alternative Energy Systems offers energy solutions for residential, commercial, and agricultural needs. They can be reached by calling 345-6980.
We want to remind you that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. And we'll be back with some information about groups that are promoting healthy eating right after this.
Hamburgers, cheeseburgers, spaghetti, rice, French fried potatoes, and goulash. Take over easy asparagus, beer, hot dogs, and baked beans, and sauerkraut. Red butter, mushrooms, and chicken pot pie. Pink lemonade on the 4th of July. But there's one thing that we'd gladly doff our shells for, so we present our recipe and wish you well for.
You take 2/3 cups of flour, a teaspoonful of salt, a quarter pound of butter, add an egg. Sugar, a teaspoon of baking powder, 30 minutes in the heat, and it's over. Tea biscuits, tomato soup, ham on rye, hot apple, pineapple sundae, honey, few artichoke hearts of lettuce, buttered bagels, and lobster cream cheese rhubarb. Butter sandwiches, English muffins, from blackberries, fish, bacon, grapefruit. Boy, make a nest and top the blue rich parsnips, tacos, marmalade, fish, kebab, turtle soup.
Well, those brownies ought to be just about ready now. Why don't we go have one? I mean, really.
The Turtles singing to us about food from The Turtles Present the Battle of the Bands. This is Ecotopia on KZFR, and tonight, before we talk with Carol Albrecht about the Weston A. Price Foundation, we'll look at a couple of other groups that focus on healthy food traditions. A national organization that focuses on healthy eating is RAFT, R-A-F-T, an acronym for Renewing America's Food Traditions. It's an alliance of food, farming, environmental, and culinary advocates, and it's managed by Slow Foods USA. The goal of this group is to identify, restore, and celebrate America's biologically and culturally diverse food traditions through conservation, education, promotion, and regional networking. The alliance was formed in 2004 and, quote, brings food producers, chefs, and consumers together to develop and promote conservation strategies, sustainable food production, and awareness of our country's unique and at-risk foods and food traditions. They say, and again we quote, we aim to promote and ensure that the diverse foods and traditions unique to North America reaches our tables by means that make our families and communities healthier and our food system more diverse, ecologically, culturally, and structurally. We focus on clusters of foods at risk that we feel we have a capacity to recover, using models of discovery, recovery, and sustainability that may inspire others to do similar work. To get more detail on their aims and their projects, check out Slow Foods USA, www.slowfoodsusa.org. And we will post that website on our own ecotopiakzfr.net. The local chapter of Slow Foods was founded here in the North State in 2005. The Shasta Cascade Group is made up of Shasta, Tehama, and Butte counties, and you can learn more about them on the web at slowfoodshastacascade.org.
The Chico Food Network was established in 2001. It began as the Chico Food Systems Project, and their website explains that the network originally brought together local farmers, restaurant owners, and health education professionals in an effort to strengthen the bonds between individuals involved in the local food system. Early activities included the hosting of real food dinners that celebrated the connection between local farmers and restaurants and highlight the local food products. With the establishment of a slow food chapter in Chico, which filled this niche, the focus of the Chico Food Network shifted to co-sponsoring nutrition education seminars and supporting the efforts of other food-related organizations and projects in Chico. The Chico Food Network is presently focusing its efforts on supporting school and community gardens and has begun an active grant writing campaign for the benefit of these endeavors. More information can be found about them on their website, chicofoodnetwork.org. We'll be right back after this with our interview with Carol Albrecht of Chaffin Family Orchards, co-leader of the Chico Butte chapter of the Weston A. Price Foundation.
Still we get the same old brew. There's no decry.
With us today is Carol Albrecht. She is the co-owner of Chapman Family Orchards, and she is also the co-leader of the Chico Butte Valley chapter of the Weston A. Price Foundation. Welcome, Carol.
Hi.
First of all, can you just tell us a little bit about what is the Weston A. Price Foundation?
Well, the Weston A. Price Foundation is named after Weston A. Price, who was a dentist. And he practiced in about the first 30 years of the 1900s, 40 years. And he was the head of research for the American Dental Association. Mm-hmm. And he was in Cleveland, Ohio. And at that time, people were moving off the farms. And a lot of people were having health problems. And he was seeing a lot of crooked teeth in the children. Mm. And he was very concerned about this. And his patients were asking him, why? Why are our children having these problems? And he didn't know the answer. Mm-hmm. And at the time, the answer that he was getting from his peers was, it's genetics. Mm. And he's looking at the parents. He's going, the parents have great teeth. They're healthy. What's the deal? This can't be genetics. His nephew worked for National Geographic. And his nephew told him that there were people around the world that had teeth like pearls, that were very healthy, that were still living in primitive cultures. Hmm. So for 10 years, he and his wife closed the dental practice every summer and traveled the world looking for these people.
Wow, interesting.
And they found them. Mm-hmm. And so they traveled to 11 different countries. Wow. And visited primitive tribes. And so the Weston A. Price Foundation was founded to take the information that he learned on his travels and disseminate it to the public so that they can learn how to eat a traditional foods diet and how to remineralize the soils and do things that will allow people to have their health.
So did he start the foundation?
No, someone the foundation was started by Sally Fallon 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
His information was actually in a garage in California for years. And it was Sally Fallon reading his book. And she said, you know, this information needs to get out. And so she put that together 10 years ago.
Interesting. And what's his book? What's the name of his
book? It's called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration.
Okay,
and she took that information and put it into the form of a cookbook called Nourishing Traditions.
I know Nourishing Traditions.
Yeah,
yes.
And that's the cookbook that we use. There's over 800 recipes.
Yeah.
And it also has all the nutritional information in it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Good. And so the mission of the organization, the Weston A. Price Foundation, is to help people get back to traditions and eating.
We say food, farming, and the healing arts.
Okay.
And so it's very important, we feel, for people to be healthy, to have a healthy local food economy.
Okay, good.
So the people need to be able to access local food.
Right.
So as a chapter, the one thing we're absolutely required to do is maintain a list of local food sources.
Okay,
and
good.
Point people to those local food sources.
Okay, great.
And then the other thing we do is to help farmers, to help them find ways of sustainable farming so they can stay in business, and to help them market directly to the public.
Okay. Good.
And then as far as the healing arts, that part is allowing people to get into contact with local physicians who are practicing in ways that point towards more traditional medicine rather than Western medicine, which tends to use a lot of pharmaceuticals and that kind of thing.
And medicalize diagnose everything as a medical problem as opposed to looking at
the diet, looking at the lifestyle, looking at the whole person.
Right. And you said that you keep the Weston A. Price Foundation keeps a list of local farmers?
What we're doing right now is we have them on our website as part of our meetup group, but we are in the process of compiling a more formal list that people can pull off of our meetup site.
Okay.
And the other thing we're doing to do is a list of local farmers markets.
Good.
So people know where they are, what time they are, and when their dates are that they're actually happening.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. And so the back to the healing arts thing too. You know of people in this area who are more holistic in their medical treatment.
We have some, and they are attending our meetings.
Oh, that's
good. And we're encouraging our members to look at other alternatives rather than just always going for the pharmaceuticals.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And the other thing that I noticed in the Weston A. Price Foundation information is that they focus on education, research, and activism. And I wondered if you could maybe talk a little bit about each of those and maybe give us some examples of things that are going on now.
Yeah,
in
for education,
areas.
We have the foundation puts out a magazine called The Journal, and then they have an annual conference. Our local chapter has a monthly meeting, and our monthly meetings are either cooking classes or they're guest speakers. We alternate. Mm-hmm. Then we do a 6-week cooking series called Nourishing Our Children, A Journey into Real Food.
Okay.
We just finished that in Orrville, and now we have it running in Chico. And we're trying to do it twice a year in each location. I'd like to try to do it in Paradise as well. And those are all free classes. And then we're in the process of setting up some farm tours where members can go out and actually be on the farm and find out what makes a healthy farm, what questions they should ask when they're shopping for products, that kind of thing. We're also in the process of educating farmers. So when farmers come to us and they want to know, for instance, how to convert from feeding grain-fed beef to grass-fed beef, we can provide help with that.
How did you get interested?
Those kinds of
things.
Right,
the pasture poultry model, which we do as well.
Yeah.
How did you get interested? How did you learn about this, and how did you get interested?
Well, my official education is in agriculture, and I grew up doing conventional agriculture, and then we have converted personally to an organic farm. Mm-hmm. But I have, we have a son who was born premature and had a lot of health issues, and we were able to heal him after years and years of chasing after doctors by using the Weston Price Foundation principles. We were able to heal him of seizuring and of rages and of rashes and just a host of issues. And so this really opened my eyes. And then over the years, as we've been converting the farm, the customers that come to us that are the most educated are always foundation members. And then we've been to a lot of their trainings, and we're like, this is really sharp. But it wasn't until Joshua, we saw such results with him, that we realized that this was important and not really represented in Chico and Orrville at the time. And so we wanted to bring that information to Chico and Orrville. We felt like it was important. I also have a real heart for farmers who are enslaved to like facilities, like people who put up large dairy barns and then they're like spending millions of years trying to pay that off and they're enslaved and they don't know how to get out.
Right.
And so I really have a heart for helping people to become more sustainable and to be able to farm with so much less stress and to be able to produce healthy products.
The first time I ever really encountered that was Joel Salatin's book, You Too Can Farm, where he said you don't want to be buy all of this equipment and put all of your time and energy in trying to pay off the equipment, because then you can never really experience kind of the pleasure and joy of doing it. You're under so much pressure.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Joel is absolutely the father of all of this.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really great. And you've done your own kind of research, but does the Weston Price Foundation still?
They do. They do. Mm-hmm. They have several researchers. Kayla Daniels is one. Christian Masterjohn is another, who do research. And one of the things that they specialize in is pulling apart studies and checking to see, okay, what are the intervals in this data? What's the resource of this information? Looking at articles, and rather than just reading the synopsis, but going all the way in and looking at the references and then looking at the references of the references and taking these studies apart and saying, okay, is this stuff actually something that's true? Because oftentimes researchers, for instance, Ansel Keys with his famous cholesterol study, you know, he had 22 countries that he had data on. Mm-hmm. He used 5 data points in order to establish his research. You can't just use 5 data points. You have to use all the data points.
Right.
And so they specialize in looking at that research and taking it apart. And their journal, their magazine, is really good. It always has several articles where they've looked at some of the current studies and the current books that are out, and just say, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down, and why.
Wow.
And it's pretty technical, but they tell you that, you know, it needs to be technical because they have a lot of doctors and researchers who read the information. And then as far as activism, they do a lot of activism for farmers. They have the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, part of the foundation. And then the website realmilk.com is another part of the foundation. And so they do a lot of activism around getting raw milk out there and getting raw milk to be available, and then more on farmers being able to do direct marketing.
Right.
And currently we've got so many food safety bills that are going through, and these are a great concern to the foundation, and they spend a lot of time lobbying and talking to people. They have moved the entire foundation 6 years ago to Washington, D.C. in order to be able to lobby, in order to be able to make an impact.
So you said that your farm started out as conventional farm and that you became an organic farm. How did that transition occur?
Well, we were really fortunate in that olives and beef cattle are main crops, and those two things don't really require chemicals.
Right.
And we are on volcanic soil, so if we had gone in and herbicided the olive trees, we would have gone directly to the feeder roots to kill the trees. So we didn't do that. Right. And my grandfather was very believing in having more than one crop of land. So mm-hmm. he ran cattle under the olives to control the weeds anyway.
Sure.
So we were really blessed in that we were pretty much already there.
I see.
But okay. There were some tweaking and little things that we did in order, and then also looking at remineralizing the soils. Those right. were things that we weren't doing. And so right. being able to go in and compost and use cover crops and do things to really get the health up and the bricks up in the fruits
right.
was something that was really important. And then adding in the goats to manage the brush rather than going in and cutting and bulldozing brush, we've reduced our fuel usage by 83%
wow.
in the last 6 years.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing.
And so that's really the tweaking that we did in order okay. to make the products healthier yeah. and then work the land in a
soil
more synergistic
health.
Way.
Right,
yeah.
mm-hmm. right. And so you mentioned a little bit about what the local chapter is doing, but let's just talk in a little bit more detail about that. You mentioned two kinds of cooking classes, is that correct?
Yeah, we have a cooking class every other month, the third Monday of the month.
Okay.
We did a broth and a mineral-rich bone stock class.
Okay.
And then we did a dairy class where we taught, you know, yogurt and all those kinds of things, cream cheese, raw cheesecake. The class that we're having this month in May is enzyme-rich sauces. So we're going to be teaching sauces that you make yourself, which gets people off of bottled salad dressings, mayonnaises, those kinds of things, and gets them onto things that they make themselves that use local products, gets healthy fats into the family diet, adds enzymes to the family diet. So that's this one, and it's 6 o'clock at the Grange.
Okay, good.
The Chico Grange. The Chico Grange, uh-huh, on Old North Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Monday the
17th.
I think that's right. I think it might be the 9th. No, it's the 17th.
Monday the 17th of May at the
mm-hmm.
Chico Grange.
Mm-hmm.
And do people need to sign up with you in advance?
They don't have to, but if they go on meetup.com and
okay.
they search for our chapter, Chico Butte Valley Weston Price, and join there, there's no cost, but that gets them on our email list, and then they receive an email every time we have a class. Mm-hmm. It also allows them to go into our files and pull all of our notes from all of our classes.
Oh, good.
Because
excellent.
We have everything there, rather than printing out handouts, we have everything there on the website, and they can pull off PDFs, and they can print
nice.
Them out beforehand, so they have the handouts if they want.
Okay.
Or they can just refer to them, however they'd like to use those. But those are all of our classes, notes are filed there. And then also, if there's an issue, they'll get an update about the meeting. And then all of our other, anything we have going on, they'll get an update. So they'll know exactly what we have happening.
And
our calendar's there.
Okay, so they can RSVP on this site as
yes,
well.
Yes,
okay, and let
yes,
you know that they're
coming. It takes RSVPs, right.
Okay. And then you have two more
cooking
classes?
In June, we're doing, well, we do it all year round.
But, oh, year round, okay.
In June, we're doing lacto-fermented vegetables and fruits, and that's to allow people to store some of the summer bounty that we have coming in at that time. We're going to teach lacto-fermented pickles. I am going to teach some of the sauerkrauts, even though it's not really sauerkraut season.
Uh-huh.
Lacto-fermented berry syrups, those kinds of things, to ginger carrots, those kind of products that allow you to put up the fruits and vegetables
without
doing the
cooking
and the denaturing.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so they're healthier.
They're raw. They have a high level of probiotics because one of the things that the foundation really focuses on is gut health.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of the traditional cultures that Dr. Price studied
mm-hmm.
had some form of fermented food, whether it was mm-hmm. fermented fish, whether it was mm-hmm. raw cheese, whether it was sauerkraut,
mm-hmm.
whether it was taro root fermented in a pit in the ground,
mm-hmm.
whatever it was they were doing, there was some way they were fermenting foods. And so we believe in eating fermented foods with every meal.
Right. And what does lacto-fermented mean?
Lacto means we're using lactobacillus
okay.
to do the fermentation, and that is usually done using whey. Although
okay.
some of the products naturally have lactobacillus in them, so we just use a little salt to get it started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a really fun and easy thing to learn. It's amazing how simple it is.
I would like to learn
that. Yeah.
And then you have something, a guest speaker in
July? We will have a guest
July?
Speaker in July, right. And then in August, I think we're going to do the sodas and beverages, the lacto-fermented sodas and beverages, kombuchas and things like that.
Okay.
And in September, we have Lance Aldrin from the Wild Salmon guy, and he has a wonderful presentation. He and his sons are in the members of the Sustainable Fishery in Alaska, and they have a wonderful presentation that talks about farm-based salmon based and then wild-based salmon, and he has these great videos of them fishing up there, and I've seen the presentation on the farm-based salmon, and I was blown away.
Wow.
I did not realize what all went into salmon farming. It's amazing, and he has some great information to share on that. So,
and that's in
And we're
September.
Also going to cook. We're also going to cook at that meeting. We're going to teach some different salmon cooking.
Okay, great. And then you mentioned another cooking class.
Yeah, that's our Nourishing Our Children, A Journey into Real Food.
Okay.
And that's the class that we did that through the Hope Center in Oroville the first time. And then this time we're doing it at Matthew's Cafe here in Chico. It's on Tuesday nights.
Okay.
We've had two classes. There are four more. We're in 6:30 to 8:30. It's free. It's a two-hour class, an hour of nutrition and an hour of cooking. It all kind of ties together. The first class we did soups and bone stocks, and the last class we did fats and oils. This next class that's coming up is dairy foods.
And that's this coming Tuesday at what time again?
It's 6:30 to 8:30.
6:30 to 8:30. And give the address one more time.
Matthew's Cafe is on Mangrove Avenue. I believe it's 1600 Mangrove Avenue. It's in a little complex there. It used to be Rico's Pizza. They gutted it and turned it into a beautiful facility.
Nice.
That's really nice that they're letting us use for free.
Nice.
And we have childcare as well that is cost-free.
Mothers can come, fathers can come.
That's the idea.
Learn how to cook
a lot of
healthy food for
Learn
their
how
children.
To cook healthy food, learn how to cook food from scratch so you're not stuck buying processed food.
Right,
it's so
expensive
to buy processed food.
It's expensive and it's got a lot of stuff in it.
A lot of stuff in it that you don't need.
I like Michael Pollan's thing about if it has more than seven ingredients or if it has something that you can't pronounce in it, it's probably not food.
Or if your grandmother didn't recognize it. Yeah.
It's probably a food-like substance.
Yeah. What we say is that it is possible to be well-fed but poorly nourished.
Exactly.
And so we're trying to show people that how to nourish yourself, how to nourish your children, how to deal with behavior problems. I myself have five children that are adopted out of the foster care system. And I taught at Butte College for 7 years in their foster care kinship education program. And so I have a lot of experience with dealing with children with emotional disturbance. And I know that the right food can really help with that. So that's where we're going with these classes, is helping people to nourish their children and to deal with a lot of the ills that children have nowadays.
And really what you're describing is problems with children that are based in their diets.
Correct. Which almost all of them are.
Which almost all of them are.
Right. When we go back, you know, and I have tons and tons of slides that I use in the class from Dr. Price's research that show the children of these tribes and then the diet change and then the children of the tribe. And you can see it. You can just see it.
Right. Yeah. So we have been talking with Carol Albrecht. She is the co-owner of Chapin Family Orchards, and she's also the co-leader of the Chico Butte Valley chapter of the Weston A. Price Foundation. And you can find more information about the Weston Price Foundation and the local chapter by going to meetup.com, search for Chico Butte Valley Weston Price. That should do it, right?
It should do it. If you have a problem, you could call our farm, Chapin Family Orchards, at 530-533-1676, and we can get you in the right direction.
Thank you so much for joining us, Carol.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Banana, potato, some fruit from the fridge, tomato, sultana, a bowl of porridge, raw melon, pineapple, rhubarb in a dish, a lemon we squeeze on a fish. Spaghetti, I'm ready for a big piece of cheese, some fruitcake with custard, may I have more please, an apple, a pawpaw, and red strawberries, roast chicken, fish fingers, and cream and jelly. Lunch, yogurt with muesli to chew and to munch, and
carrot and peas and a broccoli bunch. All I need is some food. Oh, how I love my food. A vegan pie hamburger, a vegetable quiche, with parsley on top and an orange to squeeze. Rice cakes and biscuits, a soft mandarin, sponges and muffins with a cherry thrown in.
That's Food, 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 Oh, How I Love My Food, performed by The Wiggles from their Toot Toot album.
And after talking with Carol Albrecht about her cooking classes, I was prompted to review some of my family's cookbooks. And we do have Nourishing Traditions, the book that Carol referred to. It's written by Sally Fallon, who is the person who began the Weston Price Foundation about 10 years ago with Mary Innick, a physician. And the subtitle of this book is The Cookbook That Challenges Politically Correct Nutrition and the Diet Dictocrats. As Carol said, it grows out of the ideas of Weston Price, who studied health around the world, comparing, and Sally Fallon says this in the book, he compared the so-called primitives to the so-called civilized, and talked about the refined grains, canned foods, pasteurized milk, and sugar of the civilized society that resulted in things like, he said, tooth decay, infectious disease, degenerative illness, and infertility. Following Weston Price's findings, Fallon and Innig attend to both the food quality and food preparation. So Carol's cooking class makes use of these ideas, and you can find many great recipes based on Weston Price's ideas in Nourishing Traditions. So the hors d'oeuvre section alone makes the book worth having. Salmon spread, shrimp platter, cream cheese, flax bread, stuffed endive leaves, eggplant relish, mushroom croustades, herb cheese spread with whole grain crackers, red pepper quiche squares, avocado dip.
Another of our family cookbooks is Rebecca Wood's The Splendid Grain, which explains that whole grains are concentrated sources of nutrients. She writes, "The germ contains the spark of life, and the bran gives shape and form to the kernel." In her recipes, she uses wild rice, corn, mesquite, amaranth, quinoa, buckwheat, millet, Job's tears, barley, wheat, rye, oats, sorghum, and teff. Teff was a new grain to us. It's a tiny cereal seed from the Blue Nile in Ethiopia. Intriguing recipes in Rebecca Wood's book include Pueblo bread pudding, couscous marmalade torte, barley dandelion coffee, apricot millet breakfast cake, and buckwheat pumpkin muffins.
For vegetarians, I browsed in The Sacred Kitchen, Higher Consciousness Cooking for Health and Wholeness. Robin and John Robertson's book draws from scriptural sources, religious philosophy, and every tradition in which a spark of wisdom encourages us to live healthier, more fulfilling lives. They also, quote, look at various dietary traditions as well as new medical discoveries and come up with an approach to diet they call centered cuisine. The book, then, is much more than a series of recipes, but the recipes look pretty good, and they include things like ecstasy jade soup, golden sun sauté, Sadamhi loves you banana berry pudding, yin-yang potato soup, and pesto de resistance.
Yum, yum.
You're probably ready for dinner.
We'll be back in a moment. I'm going to tell you a little bit about a bicycle trip I took to Davis. First, here is Ma Muse from their newly released album.
One, two, three. to shine and the corn would grow. Little baby sick in the house next door. So much disaster and who's to blame? Chickens too.
Nutting and Carisha Longacre from Mamuse, playing from their new album, Strange and Wonderful. That was Salem. So far, that's my favorite song, but I listened to the CD a few times, and they're all Strange and Wonderful is the name of the CD, and they're Strange and Wonderful. But now we're going to talk with Steve, and Mom Muse will figure in this story somewhere, about his trip to the Davis Earth Festival. So, Steve, who went, and what was the purpose of this trip?
As a lot of listeners know, Mom Muse are also bicycle fans and have done a number of tours where they go bicycling. And we bicycled down to Davis over the weekend for the whole Earth Festival. About 17 people went, a lot of them associated with the Grub Cooperative. And we were kind of a support group for Mom Muse. They carry all their instruments on bicycle, mandolin, guitar, and probably most dramatically, a thing they call the coffin. They carry their stand-up bass in this beautifully crafted piece of wood, rolls on wheels, the bass is in there, and you can see motorists as we go by taking a second look at that, wondering what exactly is in the coffin. So we rolled on down, made it a two-night trip down, stopping in Colusa the first night along the Sacramento River, and then making it into Davis the second day.
And you went through farm territory?
It's a lot of farm territory. It was, for me, kind of eye-opening to bicycle through the flatlands of the Sacramento Valley. Particularly, the route we took was inside the river. We went down River Road, which is a smaller backwoods road, and just miles and miles of really flat earth. And so you get a real sense of the dimensions of factory farms in this area. I was impressed at one point, saw a guy out in the middle of a field. He must have been 3/4 of a mile away driving a tractor, and it looked as if his job were all day long to drive that thing back and forth and till the fields.
And he probably owes his soul to the tractor.
He or his boss, I suspect it wasn't the boss out there driving the machine, hard to tell. And of course, we saw a lot of crop dusters. It's crop dusting season, so we were skeptical of what was coming out of those planes as they swooped back and forth across the fields. In the town of Afton, we met a rice farmer who's about my age. He was there with his dad, who's in his 90s, getting lunch for dad at the Afton General Store. And this fellow talked to us for a while about his life as a rice grower. And I learned from that rice is planted by crop duster planes. It's not like China, where each rice plant is put in the earth by itself, by hand. But these are dropped from planes. I didn't get the full details of this. I'd like to watch that operation.
And where did you stay when you were
When we got to Davis, we stayed at a place called The Domes. This is some unique student housing. It was established in 1972 as an experimental project on the Davis campus. And there are 18 large hemispheres in this area. They're painted white. They're about 18 feet tall and maybe 25 feet in diameter. And people live inside these things. So they're equipped as houses with living space, kitchen, toilet and bathroom. Many of them have lofts for sleeping areas.
So is this an ecological design?
Yeah, it is an ecological. They were built with molds. The process, as I understand it, first they dig a hole in the earth, and the mold is placed upside down in this hole. They then put a layer of fiberglass within the mold to make a bit of a shell, and then they spray it with foam to make the inner insulation and to add some rigidity to these things. Then they are popped out of the mold, if you can imagine that, and I think a group effort, you flip them upside down or right side up, and there's your dome. And a little bit like structurally insulated panels, mm-hmm. If you want a window, you go in there with a saw and just saw through the foam and the fiberglass to the dimensions of your windows, your doors, and so on. We did learn that the foam in the domes would not pass zoning today. It would emit toxic fumes in the event of fire. And the domes has a kind of uneasy relationship with the inspectors of the city of Davis, who've grandfathered them in but are not altogether happy with these units. an intentional community, open only to students, and as long as you're a full-time student, you can remain in the dome. So they have a lot of turnover. Few people stay more than 2 or 3 years, and they make all their decisions. They grow a lot of their own food as well and determine how they're going to operate the thing. So for me, a very impressive.
So you stayed in them?
We did not stay in the domes. We were allowed to camp outside, and folks shared their bathroom facilities with us inside the domes.
And how was the festival itself?
Yeah, the festival was great. This was the 42nd annual Whole Earth Festival. And it gets larger and larger every year, we're told. One of the founders spoke at the closing ceremonies about her 42-year experience running this thing. Numerous booths, too many to count, probably 100, 200 booths all together. One impressive piece of work here is that it's a zero-waste project. There are no trash cans anywhere in the Whole Earth Festival. With food, when you buy food from the vendors, you put a deposit of a dollar on your plate and your fork, and if you take it back to the cleaning station, you get your dollar back, or you are encouraged to leave your dollar behind as a contribution to the festival. But other than the one I didn't check, I saw people who had a mango on a stick, and I never found out whether they had got paid a deposit on that stick or not. But lots of arts and crafts. It's primarily an arts and crafts festival. And I have to say, I saw a range of products, some of which were just kind of pricey and raised the issue that we've talked about on this show of whether you have to be wealthy to be green. I saw a razor blade handle, gorgeous thing out of pressed and polished wood into which you would slip traditional Gillette blades. But $50 for a razor handle seemed to me a little exotic and pricey.
Right, even you could do one a lot cheaper you could use over and over again.
Right.
Is it student-oriented? Were there student booths, or are these mainly vendors from around the region?
The majority are vendors from the region, and a lot of people who look as if they've been on the art fair circuit and so on. But a number of student groups represented, including the Legalize Marijuana Club, which was collecting signatures to put legalized pot on the ballot, and a couple of others that I can mention in a little bit, groups that are active with environmental projects on campus.
And any interesting new technology there?
There was less technology than I'd hoped for. I wanted to come back to report on a lot of gee whiz, the latest in solar panels. There wasn't much of this. I did visit several exhibits. The first one I ran into came from the village of Chico, California. Matt Roberts, who does springboard biodiesel out on Hegan Lane.
Yeah, they were written up in an airline magazine.
Yes, and they're doing biodiesel converters that you can put in your garage or more likely in your farm. These range for $5,000. You can get one that essentially you pour your raw product in the top, and a little bit later, purified biodiesel comes out the bottom. Matt argues that the biodiesel costs about a dollar a gallon when you make it that way, exclusive of the raw products that you put in. There were also electric bikes in the exhibit, fairly heavy, clunky things, but nice project if you were using a bike for day-to-day transportation, particularly in hilly territory.
What else?
Well, I mentioned some of the groups. I was impressed with a campus group, Engineers Without Borders. This is part of a national organization, and there is a Chico chapter. I don't know what they do. I think we need to get them on the program here. This group is working on promoting clean water in Nigeria, and they were demonstrating a filter system. You can pour really filthy water in the top of this machine. It goes through, not a machine, it's just a static a column. They build them out of cement in Nigeria. The water filters through several layers of sand, and there's a biologically active layer there that produces not quite pure water, but water that is certainly more drinkable than much of what is coming out of the rivers and streams. I was also impressed to talk with some people from the Center for Outdoor Ethics from Boulder, Colorado. Their mission is fostering stewardship of the outdoors. They do training sessions on hiking, camping, leaving no trace, how to deal with human waste, fire and light issues when you're camping, respecting wildlife. They're on the web at www.lnt.org, and it seemed to me they were doing a lot of good work. And I was also intrigued by a bus from Green Tortoise Tours. This is a bus that's tricked out with sleeping bunks. About 20 people can sleep in this bus, and they advertise that you sleep while we drive. Low-cost housing. They provide vegetarian food on the road. They do tours both nationally and internationally. And I think maybe the next time we do a tour, we probably ought to look up Green Tortoise Tours and see what they're doing.
And how? What was the?
Well, the highlight.
Yes, the highlight.
That was Ma Muse. That's what we all went for. Ma Muse performed. Sarah and Carisha were the closing act. Wowed the crowd on Sunday evening. Even the conference, the workshop, the Whole Earth Festival presenters said that this is the most relevant, interesting, and passionate music that we've heard throughout the entire Whole Earth Festival. So it was well where I was proud to be a part of the Ma Muse entourage. Quite aside from participating in the Whole Earth Festival.
And I think we will go out with a little bit of Ma Muse. Ecotopia is made possible by member contributions and by Cartridge World in Chico, specializing in printer cartridge refilling and remanufacturing for a green community. Cartridge World uses recycled cartridges for most home and business printers, copiers, and faxes. Cartridge World in Chico is located inside the Safeway Plaza next to Tri-Counties Bank. More information is available by calling 342-3333.
And we are supported by Alternative Energy Systems, a locally owned and operated partnership providing energy for life with sustainable energy. Their information is available on the web at www.solarenergyforlife.com. Alternative Energy Systems offers energy solutions for residential, commercial, and agricultural needs. You can reach them by calling 345-6980.
Annual springtime event.
People's Fest, a celebration of children's creativity and imagination on Saturday, May 15th.
From 11 to 4 p.m. at the schoolhouse, 2400 Notre Dame Boulevard.
Music will be performed by students from Chico's one and only Chico School of Rock.
Other family-friendly offerings include a gallery of local children's artwork,
interactive do-it-yourself clothes and hat making,
mask making,
paintball art mural,
fresh, local, delicious foods at the snack bar,
bounce house,
a rollicking springtime children's parade,
a raffle and silent auction supported by Chico's best local retailers and restaurants.
This event is a fundraiser for the International Institute for Education Through the Arts.
Come and enjoy the People's Fest Saturday, May 15th, 11 to 4 p.m. at 2400 Notre Dame Boulevard.
Please call 345-5665 for more information.
See you there. Let's move.
And coming up at 7 this evening is The Storyteller with Catherine Robinson, bringing you stories, legends, and music from long ago and modern-day cultures. And then at 7:30 tonight, it's a special KZFR live broadcast, Chris Kane and Ron Thompson live at The Big Room. That's coming on at 7:30 p.m. That does it for Ecotopia for this evening. Thanks very much for listening. I'm Stephen Chudy.
And I'm Susan Chudy. Contact us at ecotopiakzfr@gmail.com or visit our website, ecotopiakzfr.net.
The squirrels go up and down, they're so busy running around. They seem to know that they belong. All the veggies in the garden and the trees in the yard.